live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 25th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour one of two, and our goal always remains the same. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We also believe the founding fathers put together the most incredible check and balance system the world has ever seen. We have the power, ladies and gentlemen, due to our greater numbers, to absolutely restore the proper role of limited government. We don't need a revolution, but we do need a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Wow, this is the first time we've been live in many days. Last week, Sam and Kurt were, believe it or not, in Hawaii. We had a fantastic, absolutely marvelous time. And people say, Sam, what is this deal with you guys asking for support on the air? We're all broke out here with the economy doing so horrible. And y'all are going to Hawaii. What is up with that? And my response is very simple. We don't play any games. We're the same on the air as we are off the air, people. We had some kind friends literally give us tickets. One of our friends happens to be a retired pilot. It gave us tickets to go to Hawaii. And because of that, we were able to go. Otherwise, we would not even be able to afford to go, that's for sure. But we took our spouses. We had a well-deserved, absolutely needed break. We had a marvelous time. Without their support and love and kindness and contribution, if you will, we would not have been able to go at all. We were able to stay and do things very inexpensively. We did not do the big expensive things, but we did have a wonderful, wonderful time. We spent some time. We went to the Mormon temples. We went to a Chinese temple. Very spiritual places, by the way. We commend all the people over there doing a great job. We did a lot of the inexpensive things. We went on some hikes. We went and saw two different sunsets 2 days in a row at the beach. By the way, doing that's free in Hawaii. You can see the sunsets, beautiful for free. And so we really had a wonderful, inexpensive time, and we're grateful for the opportunity to go, and we'd just like to thank all those who made it possible for sure. We don't live high on a hog. We were on standby flights. We are grateful. It worked out just phenomenal, and my wife has now been to Hawaii. What do you say about that? I'm just saying it's fantastic news. Kurt's not even with us, because when you go on standby, we wanted to fly separately. Because there was four of us, and we knew we wouldn't even get on the standby flights if we flew together. And so we flew in Saturday last week and then flew out Saturday evening. The Crosbys flew in Sunday and flew out Sunday evening late. So Kurt just landed about 15 minutes ago. And he emailed me and said, we got on the plane that last night about 1 a.m. our time or something like that. And then he emailed me just this morning right before we went on the air and said, hey, I just landed. Have a great show. Be with you tomorrow. Anyway, things worked out wonderfully. But we had a delightful time in Hawaii. We actually ate from a shrimp truck. That was phenomenal. We did a lot of interesting things. I went to the Pearl Harbor. We couldn't do all the events. They were way too expensive. But we did a couple of things and walked around. I did an audio tour. Cost $7.50 because I could listen to all the audio. And you know what? It was so sad. Because the official story is not even being told about World War II in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of evidence that shows that our president knew in advance. We absorbed the first attack. We knew it was coming. We didn't alert our servicemen and people. It was super sad because the whole story there is not being told. How long is it? 1941 till now? You know, 51, 61, 71, 81, 91, 101, 111, you know, 70 years later or whatever. But we still don't even have the whole story and the truth on that, at least publicly known in the minds of the American people. What a tragedy. What a sad loss of life. We follow the Prince of Peace and advocate a peaceful solution. It's in the past. I agree with all that. But it is important that the truth comes out. And a lot of details surrounding World War II aren't being told. The fact that our president knew in advance It wasn't the surprise attack we're told that it was. It's tragic. There's more about that with regards to the World War II scenarios. For example, there was a big eugenics movement. You know, we hear that the Nazis wanted to go ahead and just destroy everybody that wasn't the, quote, pure race. You know, some of that's true. Some of it's not true. Don't call me and email me and try to enlighten me on World War II and say, you don't have the story right and everything. I don't really need someone to enlighten me on this. I understand quite a bit. There's a lot that you can say and a lot that you can't say about things when you're well-known in the media. You got to be very careful to tell the truth, but you got to be very cautious about how you deliver your message many times. Nevertheless, I digress. I'm just telling you that the United States was involved in that same eugenics movement. There was a lot of information there that isn't being told. Anyway, so it was a sad event. My father, by the way, just so everybody understands, I have a personal connection to this World War II thing. My father was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. He was called to Hawaii. He was called to a Japanese-speaking mission in Hawaii, so he spoke Japanese, learned Japanese. He was teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in Hawaii to the Japanese people in the Japanese language, as my father's second language, when Pearl Harbor was bombed. I'm going to say that again so everybody understands what I'm saying. My father grew up in Arizona, white guy, was called to Hawaii to the Japanese-speaking mission, so he learned Japanese as a second language, in Hawaii, and he was there in 1941 when Pearl Harbor was bombed as a missionary. And so I have a little bit of a personal connection to this, and the story was so sad. And so we went and did some of that, very, very special to me. And we did a lot of inexpensive things, and we were grateful for the opportunity to be in Hawaii. Kurt and his wife have never been to Hawaii. My wife had never been to Hawaii. I've been once as a teenager with my family. Obviously, my father wanted to go back for obvious reasons. And so it was a very special thing. But we learned about the code, that the codes, there's information showing the codes were cracked, that we wanted to stop them. People wouldn't listen. There's all kinds of information regarding this World War II thing where the story isn't being told. Anyway, it was phenomenal. It was a wonderful break, a well-deserved break. I don't know that I can think of a time in our 20-plus years of history on the radio that we've literally both, meaning me and Kurt, just taken off 5 days in a row. But we put some of the most tremendous rebroadcasts together of some of the best interviews in the last couple of weeks we've done. James Edwards was part of that. Joel Skousen was part of that. Alan Phillips, a lot of our regular guests were part of that. We also had on a guest, Karen Smith, who does a wonderful job and talks about the plight of the white South African people, how they're being abused and how the world's flat out turning their backs on them, and especially the United States ignoring the plight of the white people in South Africa, the fact that it's a very hostile, abusive environment there. We talked to Karen about that. She does a phenomenal job. So we had some just tremendous rebroadcasts that are must-hear radio shows as well. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. Check it out. Get involved today. Live and on demand at your fingertips, free every day. But I'm back live. Kurt Crosby will be with us tomorrow. That's kind of a recap of our events. We'll talk more with Kurt. I want him to be able to chime in on some of his special experiences and some of the things that he liked and did, and etc. It was just a phenomenal event. We did expensive things because we're really rich in Hawaii. We went to this Chinese temple, a very sacred place, by the way. You could ring the bell for peace and stuff like that. It cost $3 to get in. You know, we did the expensive stuff. Anyway, it was delightful, though. We really learned a lot, and we like to learn about other religions and other peoples and other places and other cultures. I know they tell you that I'm a racist and that I hate everybody but white people, but it's a lie. We spent a lot of time with the Tongan people, the Samoan people, the people of the islands, a lot of time learning about this Chinese temple. We just had a bang-up, fantastic experience, and I was able to learn a little bit more about my father's experiences. My father spent a ton of time after the bombing of Pearl Harbor helping the people, cleaning up and protecting people and working. You know, you drop a lot of your missionary duties at that time, and you just go to work with and for the people. And my father did that as he served the Japanese people in Hawaii for 2 years. It's just kind of an interesting tidbit, just so you know, not to make this a Mormon program, but Mormon missionaries save their money as young men, you know, teenagers, and then they go on a mission and they fund their own 2 years of service. And if they don't save enough by the time they go, then their families help fund the effort. So not only do they go and serve people around the world of different cultures, but they do so at their own expense. And I don't know how many people really realize that. When you see the guys on bicycles or the guys in white shirts running around talking to people about religion and they're Mormons, understand that most of those young men, those teenage boys, saved as much money as they could to go on a mission. And it probably costs around $15,000 to go on a Mormon mission. You got 2 years of expenses, costs to cover while you preach the gospel 24/7. You know, I went on a mission. My father went on a mission. I've got a boy that's gone on a mission, another one that's getting ready to go. And Mormons fund their own missions at their own expense out of the love of people around the world, love for people, and a desire to preach the gospel of Christ and follow the Prince of Peace. I digress. Our guest coming up in seconds.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, one last quick point before we move on to our guest about the beautiful state of Hawaii. Number one is one of the most liberal states in the union, which is kind of interesting. Number two, it's incredibly expensive there. I mean, I was shocked. Okay, I bought my home for $150,000, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm still paying on it, by the way. So, anyway, all I'm telling you is homes like what I have, literally about the same size, a little bit bigger, a little bit more modern, a little bit newer, but still $1.5 million. Everything is just so expensive. It just absolutely shocked me. Anyway, one last point also. We were able to spend time. We went to a palace. And I can't even pronounce half the names in this country or whatever, but it's this palace. It's the only palace in the 50 states. And when you go there, you learn about the history, about how Hawaii used to be its own country, how they had a series of kings and monarchs, if you will, how eventually that gave way to, and it was a territory of the United States that eventually became a state. We learned about all that. That was kind of fascinating. But it is the only palace in the United States. I don't know if anybody knows that. But so there was a lot of fascinating things that we did, a lot of historical things that we did, a lot of inexpensive things that we did. We just really spent some time together with our spouses. And, you know, Sam and me and my wife and Kurt and Kurt's wife, our families are good family friends. And so we spent time catching up on each other's family. And, you know, we're so busy in life, we don't get to do enough together. So I'm telling you, it was just a phenomenal experience. Kurt and Sam returned from the beautiful state of Hawaii. Thank heavens for those who made it possible. All right, our guest, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, well known on Liberty Roundtable Live. Welcome back, my friend.
Sam, aloha. It's really great to be your first guest after your incredible vacation. And by the way, no soldier can stay on the front lines without a furlough. And, you know, I think about the kind of dedication it takes for me to do my radio program every Saturday night. That's once a week, okay? You know, when it's 6 o'clock Saturday night, that's my shift. I go to work. We never miss. And multiply that by 5, ladies and gentlemen, and you get an idea of the dedication and perseverance of Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby. So to go on a vacation, a well-deserved rest, I just really enjoyed hearing about that. So actually, Sam, you killed two birds with one stone. You saved yourself a phone call because I was anxious to hear how your trip went, and it made for great radio. I don't know if we're going to be able to talk about anything politically that's going to top that. I was fascinated to hear about your trip. And by the way, good for you for bringing out what you did about Pearl Harbor. You know, you told the truth in love. You did it tastefully. You did it responsibly. But facts are facts, and the fact is that America knew in advance that attack was going to happen. That's incontrovertible.
And the fact that we're not even mentioning that in the historical tour is beyond imagination at this point in history.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, there's a lot of evidence that suggests that the Roosevelt administration even manipulated Japan into taking that action, that America needed them to do that so they could get into the war. Now, why was America helping on getting into the war? Well, that's a whole other conversation. But these are things that need to be discussed. They need to be discussed, as I said, responsibly, but they certainly need to be discussed, and they shouldn't be out of bounds. So, you know, I know that was a little bit of a downer to have to bring that up when you're talking about a trip, but again, I don't know, Sam, if we should even talk about politics. I just want to hear about your surfing safari with Kurt.
Well, my father was literally there as a missionary and was there when Pearl Harbor was bombed as well. It's a personal connection that is very
incredible.
Interesting. Just
incredible.
Wow. Now, the thing that people need to understand is that the Prescott Bush family, yeah, Prescott's George Sr.'s dad, who's George Jr.'s dad, who's, you know, George and all the brothers, right? Jeb and everybody else's great-grandfather or whatever was involved there. Prescott Bush was involved in transnational or international corporate world. They were involved heavily with the Germans, et cetera, et cetera. They were involved in the eugenics movement. That sordid history is interesting. And you could say, Sam, that's all in the past. Why spend time on that now? Because
nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed. That's exactly the point. And because Ted Cruz pitches himself as the consummate outsider, but now we find that Ted Cruz has been willing to work with the George Bush family. What is it? Neil Bush, a big financier, Jeb Bush, George Bush and family. A lot of the Bushes surround Cruz now, but it gets worse because Cruz and John Kasich are now openly uniting to stop Donald Trump. And I find that fascinating because Ted, on one hand, wants you to believe he's a total outsider, but understand he cut his teeth in politics, working defending the Bushes on the hanging Chad scenario in Florida. He cut his teeth and met his wife with the Bush campaigns. He is as heavily involved, if not more so than anybody else by far. This outsider idea from Ted Cruz is bogus. Now, I know the courts say that he's constitutionally qualified to be president. I still completely disagree with that lie. Go read your supreme law of the land. It doesn't say that at all. They're manipulating things. He is not constitutionally qualified. He was born in Canada. His father's a Cuban. There's all kinds of problems with that scenario for Ted Cruz. I stand on that. I'm not caving. I'm just reporting the news that the courts say it's all fine. I disagree. The courts don't have the final say in everything in America, ladies and gentlemen. They're supposed to be the weakest, not the strongest branch of government. Anyway, I digress, except for to say this insider status by the Bush family in the World War II fiasco, the eugenics movement, the cover-up of what happened in World War II. Now Cruz is surrounding himself with all those same people, James.
He is, Sam. And, you know, going all the way back to last summer, one of the things that intrigued me about Trump was his signature issues, militantly opposed to political correctness, which is absolutely destroying this country, one of the things that's destroying it. His positions on trade, his positions on immigration, his alleged positions. Now, he could get in there and be as bad as anybody, but he is a true outsider from a political sense. Now, obviously, he's a billionaire from Manhattan, so it's not as though he's not connected. But when you look at Ted Cruz, he's a United States senator, a sitting United States senator that's married to an employee of Goldman Sachs. So that doesn't really strike me as an outsider.
Yeah, as far as I understand right now, she's not an employee of Goldman Sachs. She quit that so that they can claim that that's not true. But yet, the history's there.
A good point, right. Exactly, I guess. Yeah, sure.
And I only point that out so people don't beat us up saying you don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah, we do know, folks.
Well, you're right, Sam. You're right. Now, nevertheless, so there's no doubt there's connections there, and they both have worked for previous administrations and written things in support of all of these dastardly organizations. But you look at what's going on with the so-called transgender bathroom legislation, the bathroom bills, and these so-called conservatives, these so-called Christians, can't even take the state of Tennessee, for example. The state of Tennessee is owned lock, stock, and barrel by people like us, conservative Christians, Sam. 95% of the electorate in Tennessee is going to be opposed to letting men use women's bathrooms, okay? And they have complete authority to elect, and they have elected the people that they think represent their beliefs. Now, here in the state of Tennessee, it was proposed, and I'll get back to Cruz. I'm going to connect the dots here. It was proposed that they would put in a bill similar to that which we've seen in North Carolina and Mississippi, which would protect people from, frankly, perverts in the bathrooms, in public restrooms. Now, this would be met with overwhelming support of the citizenry of the state of Tennessee, but before the state Senate and the state House got to vote on it, a few CEOs sent in letters saying that they would pull business from Tennessee if they passed something that discriminated against transgendered people. And then Miley Cyrus sent in a letter. You know what happened all of a sudden? These conservative Christian Republicans, they said, well, we're going to table this for now and deliberate a little bit more, which, you know what that means, it's never going to be resuscitated. So this is what you get from Conservative Incorporated. And Ted Cruz, to get back to him, he's going to do no different. We have been fooled a million times over, not just by presidential candidates, but by so-called conservative Christian governors, the so-called conservative Christian legislators in the state house. Ted Cruz has even told one of his primary funders, Paul Singer, that don't worry about it. I'm just trying to get the vote with this social issues rhetoric. When I get elected, it's not going to be part of my agenda. He's already said that in public, and it's out there for people to find. It's not a secret. It's not something we're making up. So, you know, you keep voting for these people that have been part of the...
Keep doing what you've always done. You're going to get what you've always got is the point. James Edwards, Sam Bushman, back in seconds. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Saudi government officials paid Pakistanis to shelter Osama bin Laden because they didn't want us interrogating the alleged 9/11 mastermind, declares investigative reporter Seymour Hersh in an interview previewing his new book, The Killing of Osama bin Laden. Hersh is a classic muckraker who made his mark by exposing the My Lai massacre in Vietnam and has scored a number of similar journalistic coups in articles published primarily by left-leaning journals such as The Nation. His sources claim that Saudi officials were passing along tankers of oil for the Pakistanis to resell in exchange for concealing bin Laden, thereby preventing him from disclosing what he knew about direct Saudi involvement in the 9/11 attacks. Hirsch also quotes a retired U.S. official who describes the killing of bin Laden as clearly and absolutely a premeditated murder, and a former SEAL commander who says that, by law, we know what we're doing inside Pakistan is homicide. On the basis of his reporting, Hirsch concludes, the SEALs weren't proud of that mission, and were so mad it was outed. They were very unhappy about the attention paid to that, because they went in and it was just a hit. Not that this was an unusual occurrence, Hirsch stipulates. They've done it before. We do targeted assassinations. The SEALs understood that if they were captured by the Pakistani police authorities, they would be tried for murder. At the time of its creation several years ago, the Beijing-based Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, or AIIB, a project of the Chinese-founded Shanghai Cooperation Organization, was described as a rival and counterweight to the U.S.-dominated World Bank and International Monetary Fund. In mid-April, however, the AIIB announced a partnership with the Washington-based World Bank to promote sustainable development, in which national governments plan their economies according to a UN-approved framework of environmental regulation. In a press release announcing a framework agreement with the Chinese bank, World Bank Group President Jim Yong said that the financial institutions will fund development projects together in an effort to address the world's huge infrastructure needs. This megabank merger will accelerate the pace of economic and political merger among the six member states of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization: China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan, all of which are ruled by current or ex-Communist Party elites. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Our well-known friend James Edwards, author of the book Racism, Shamacism, also host of the PoliticalCesspool.org radio broadcast, an award-winning show every Saturday night, syndicated by Liberty News Radio, 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time every Saturday night. They're live. Also, check out their archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. So Sam and James hanging out, talking about reality, talking about that Ted Cruz pitches himself as an outsider. The fact is, now Ted Cruz spending plenty of time with the Bushes. There's a possibility that Marco Rubio's helping John Kasich, and Ted Cruz openly now working to stop Donald Trump. They're uniting on that idea. Look, folks, Cruz is not an outsider. That's an absolute 100% bogus lie. The truth comes out when tough times come for the establishment. The insiders all quadruple down together. Kirk Cosby just landed, coming back from Hawaii. He'll be on the broadcast with us live, of course, tomorrow in studio. Meanwhile, we talked about the truth on World War II. We're talking about Ted Cruz and John Kasich uniting. We're talking about marriage equality. We're talking about the bathrooms, etc. James?
Well, you know, one thing you say, and I agree with it 100%, although I don't know if it's true. I would like for it to be true, and I pray that it's true. You always said at the beginning of the show, restoration, not revolution. Let's do it peacefully because the facts and the truth and the laws are on our side. Now, that's all true, except look at what we have here in Tennessee. Now, national politics is a little bit more convoluted, but look at Tennessee, which is where I live, which is why I'm making the example. You have a relatively, I mean, they're impotent, as conservatives always are, but you have a relatively conservative government here in the state of Tennessee. You have a Republican governor. You have a Republican state Senate, a Republican state House. And the people that are voting for these people are overwhelmingly right-wing conservative Christians. And I mean that very affectionately because that's what I consider myself to be. So complete and total control by Christian conservatives in the Tennessee electorate. And, of course, the people who go in there are the folks that conservative Christians have identified as being their man or their woman. Now, even here in the state of Tennessee, Sam, with overwhelming support from the electorate, the entire will of the state is circumvented because these phony politicians, these sellouts, cave when literally just a handful of corporations threatened to pull their money out and refuse to do business in the state of Tennessee, which is what we saw in North Carolina. I think PayPal did that, even though they do business in 25 states where it's illegal to be a homosexual and, in fact, punishable by severe penalties. But anyway, they didn't pull out of those countries. But my question is this, Sam. What recourse does the American people have, or do the American people have, when, you know, they really have, the establishment has a fail-safe mechanism in place. Most of the time, our people are too ignorant to vote the right way anyway. But in the cases when we do, you've always got an activist judge who can overrule that with a stroke of a pen. And if you really don't want to wait on that, just have a couple of CEOs or celebrities write in a letter of disgust, and then everybody's going to cave. And if that's the case, I mean, why do we even have elections? Why don't we just let a few corporate boards and a handful of celebrities just dictate the policy? Because that's exactly what's going on with this transgender bill.
Your question is a great one, James, and let me answer it. I've said that we, the people, can restore the republic of the traditions of our founding fathers using the checks and balances we've been given. A lot of times people want to debate me about how free America is versus other countries as well, and I say that America's by far got a lot more freedom than many of these other countries. And then people will go through and say, Sam, there's less taxes in this country, there's this, there's that. They're right on every point, James, except for the salient point, which is this. We have the seeds for solutions that other countries don't have. Okay, and you say, well, Sam, they don't work. We try to vote, we get shut down. We try to, and my response is that's not really true. When we, the American people, stand together, our greater numbers, no one, and I repeat, no one can stop us. America has had the longest republic that we know of in the history of the world. We've been freer for the longer time, more so than any other country in the history of the world. The checks and balances do work when applied properly. Let me give you an example. People say, Sam, there's vote fraud. Every election's fraudulent. We can't win. When was the last time, let's just say, even 1 million Americans stood together and demanded paper ballots and demanded accountability in elections and said, we're not going to tolerate this. You will not do this. We are going to watch the votes. We will shut you down. We will run you out of office. We will sue you. We will put our money where our mouth is. 1 million people putting $1 a day in, for example, James, would have $1 million a day, $365 million to attack the establishment if they were wrongfully, fraudulently dealing with elections. We could have people counting votes. We could impeach people. We could sue people. We could recall people. We could next election replace 1/3 of our congressmen. We could, okay, there's so many things we the people could do, but not when we're too wrapped up in porn and football and getting divorced. Okay, we're not going to get it done.
Here's where it makes sense. Principle and honor.
That's
and
right.
Duty and integrity. If Sam Bushman and James Edwards were elected in a couple of governorships, we wouldn't cave to these perverted anti-Christian CEOs. But unfortunately, it seems as though nobody with that willpower ever ascends to elected office, at least above that of maybe...
And I would say that's because we the people don't demand it. Let me give you an example. People are still even considering, just imagine this, a significant portion of the nation is considering Hillary Clinton for office right now.
Well, that's a whole other thing. I mean, there's no doubt that a huge section of our electorate is almost irredeemably, you know, they're just beyond redemption. It would appear right now. Now, of course, I don't really believe that. I mean, anybody can come to Christ and prove themselves. But I mean, getting back just very quickly to this thing with Tennessee and all of these sellouts is they crave status. They would rather be written fondly and remembered fondly by the media, who, of course, hates everything that America used to stand for, hates Christianity. They hate people who are conservative. They look down on them. They think they're backwards. But, you know, no, to oppose the things with the transgender bathroom, you know, there's only one reason and one reason alone why anyone would oppose it, according to the media, and that's because they hate, they're bigots, they're homophobes. And these politicians are scared to death of being called a name by the people who hate them and hate this country and hate everything that they stand for, that they would rather cave in and be patted on the head and smiled upon by the Chamber of Commerce and celebrities and the godless media than to take a stand for what's right. And that's really, at the end of the day, what it's all about. But I can tell you, they make that decision, and they don't have to make that decision.
You're right about that, but we the people allow them to, James. Let's just take Target for an example, all right? Target's in the news big time now. They've released a statement. This is what you mean by you get a couple of CEOs or celebrities to jump on board with the politicians to attack the American people. But what if a million people got together and said, we're not gonna shop at Target anymore, period, in a paragraph, and we're going to call them every single day until they come to their senses on this. We're not doing this. Okay, but you can't even get five people to stand for liberty anymore. And that's the problem with America today.
Well, I want to bring out another thing about these CEOs. Think about the blatant hypocrisy and the double standards. Now, the media, these corporations, they say that a Christian baker, a Christian florist, a Christian wedding chapel owner, they do not have the right to refuse to do business with people who run contrary to their religious beliefs or their deeply held convictions. That's what they say. You do not have that freedom of association in this country. But now look at what they're doing. They're pulling out because they refuse to do business with the people of North Carolina and Mississippi because they disagree with them. They have that freedom, but we don't. The bad guys have it. We don't. The NBA, the National Basketball Association, says they're going to pull the All-Star game, which has been scheduled for Charlotte, North Carolina.
And you know what the American people should say? The American people should stand up in absolute righteous indignation and say, you know what? You pull the NBA game, my friends. You have a good time, and you're going to go the way of the American baseball. Good luck. Do that, and you're done. And if the American people stood up and had a backbone, this would change.
People are afraid of being negatively stigmatized. They would rather have a good reputation according to what the media defines as good than being morally sound, and they're just too weak-minded. They're just too weak.
And that's why I pray for good leaders in America today. Without morality in the people, we're done. And until we can repent and turn to our God, it's over.
Well, that's right, but I mean, again, just look at the double standard. I just can't get off this, and I'll move on after this. But they say it's criminal for you to have that right to not do business with people whom you would rather not do business. But that's exactly what they're flaunting. And not only that, they're using it as leverage and a bludgeon to force these states to do something that the people in these states don't want them to do.
All right, let's talk about this Target statement. We're going to have to take a quick break here in a second. But Target released a statement on transgender bathrooms. Now, I don't really understand what a transgender bathroom is. I don't understand why they need to make this so political like they do, but they have an agenda. Ted Cruz, believe it or not, is part of that agenda because he's not standing up against it that I hear. Nevertheless, this agenda is very coordinated. Target's now involved. They kind of say Target plus, quote, Marriage Equality Act, stronger together. Target signing on. We'll talk about it. And get into the details. This is seriously important, folks, on Liberty Roundtable Live.
North Florida, North America, and YouTube Babylon, are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
James Edwards has a good question. How on earth do we restore the Republic peacefully? You know, we talk about a restoration, not a revolution, and he hopes we can do that. I agree with James. Pete just called in and said, Sam, there are no checks and balances. The reason I don't put him on the radio is because we'll just debate that forever and we won't get anything else done on the broadcast is the problem. However, I submit to you people, you know, Pete says, how do we get people involved? Sam, you can't get anybody involved. People have their agency, folks. People could follow Satan or Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, we can restore this country. The Bible says so, and I'm convinced God doesn't lie. It's true. If we repent, God will heal our land. If we don't, we're done. And it comes down to that simple of a discussion. It comes down to the morality of the American people. You say, oh, Sam, a judge just said that Cruz is constitutionally qualified. He's not. It's bogus. The courts are king. The courts rule. My response is the founders intended the courts to be the least strong branch of government. Well, Sam, what do we do about it? You can impeach judges if enough people got involved. If a million Americans every single day demanded impeachment for that judge, he'd be gone tomorrow, James.
Well, you know, and again, when the Supreme Court makes a ruling, it's referred to, and it is an opinion. An opinion. It's not legislation. It's an opinion. It's their thoughts. It's their interpretation. You think. I mean, obviously, they're just judicial activists, and they're not really interpreting it. They're just advancing their agenda. But I don't know where all of a sudden the states think that the Supreme Court writes the laws and that they have to abide by Supreme Court's opinion.
Well, here's the bottom line. You've got media that allows this spin to happen, James, and if enough people bought back the media, if enough people put their money where their mouth is, just imagine if enough people were involved with Sam and James. Just imagine if we were on 1,000 radio stations because we bought them all with a million Americans putting their money where their mouth is. It's not going to happen if Americans don't take action and get involved in peaceful ways and organize themselves. It's that simple.
And you can take these CEOs of these corrupt corporations down to their knees by withdrawing your business. And, you know, a lot of people, they say you need food, water, and shelter to survive. Those are the three primal fundamentals that you need to live. Well, unfortunately, a lot of people in America now also need status. They need to be publicly accepted. And it is hard to go out there and take these beatings that we do, Sam, for telling the truth. I mean, we get called all sorts of nasty names. But you know what? At the end of the day, we still have friends and family who love us and the people who are in our lives who matter. They, you know, they're with us, of course. But, you know, this is it. You've got too many people who, or like you said, they're watching porn, they're too hungover after the football game. If you had all of these people withdrawing their business from corrupt anti-Christian corporations like Target, you could bring them down. If you had a million people supporting the truth tellers like Sam Bushman and creating their own media outlets and supporting the legend, if you had a million people write the governor of Tennessee, I guarantee you that thing goes through. But they don't do it.
And that's the problem. They don't do it. But God says that we can do it, and I believe him. Do you?
Absolutely.
So the question is not, can it be done? The question is, will it be done? And here's my response. That's the whole reason we're on the radio, to promote God, family, and country, protect life, liberty, and property. And I don't know if we can do it, let me say it this way. I don't know if we will do it. I know we can do it. And this whole broadcast, the 20 years plus that I've been in broadcasting, has been all in the effort in hopes that we do do it and to advocate for that cause.
In vain. We don't fight in vain. We would fight even if we knew that our defeat was inevitable because it's our duty, but we believe we can win because we believe in God. He can do greater things through us than he did through Christ because he'll be working through us. And so that's a promise he made, and I believe
it. And it's not my responsibility to determine the outcome. It's my responsibility to do my part, James.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, moving that discussion to the Target discussion, Target's statement on gender bathrooms, James, brief everyone quickly on this statement. They're crazy, James.
Well, again, you have... This is the cause du jour right now. This is the latest manifestation in the advancement of the radical egalitarian agenda. So now they say, well, now that homosexual marriage is the so-called law of the land, now what's the next great frontier? Oh, yeah, it's transgender rights. And, of course, we know what transgender is. It's just, at best, mentally ill people who believe that they're something else than what their biological sex dictated at birth. You know, if you are born biologically as a male, you have male genitalia, you have male chromosomes. You are a male. It doesn't matter what you think you are. You are what you are, and there's no debate about it. Bruce Jenner is a cross-dressing man. He's not a woman. And this is just fundamental, and it just goes to show, Sam, how sick America is that we would even debate this as if it's a serious question. I mean, how lunatic can the American people possibly be? Can you imagine telling George Washington that in the year 2016 this would be something that American presidential candidates are debating as if it was a serious issue? But anyway, to get to Target, Target has come out, of course, on the wrong side of the culture war, and they've released a statement saying that they're inclusive and they promote equality, and therefore all of their team members and guests will be allowed to use the restroom that corresponds with their gender identity. Not what their gender actually is, but their gender identity. So Target had laid down the gauntlet, and they said at any Target store nationwide, one of the biggest chains in America, as you know, you can go into whatever bathroom you want. And so I say, you know, let's talk about this. Now, they haven't really debated how this works. You know, do you have to have identified as the opposite sex than what you really are for a certain amount of time before it's legit? If I saw a bunch of 20-year-old college cheerleaders go into the bathroom, could I identify as a woman for about 5 minutes? Could I go in there and take a peek? You know, but, you know, you ask these ridiculous questions because the debate itself is so ridiculous. But, of course, they don't let you answer that. They just shout you down. If you oppose it, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're an evil person, and you better shut up or we're going to write about you in the press, and we're going to shame you. And nobody wants that, for goodness sake. So we'll
now let me stop you there, James, because it's very easy. There was before this big old manipulation of transgender bathrooms and this whole lie, this satanic push for this agenda, there were what were called family bathrooms. And what it would say on it would be a family bathroom. And it was a smaller bathroom that, you know what, a man could go in with his son or daughter and change a dirty diaper or whatever. It's where maybe a blind person like myself could go in there. And not have to try to traverse the bathroom all by myself when it's a bunch of people involved or whatever. I could be guided to where I needed to go. The family bathroom and just this idea that says, look, we're not getting involved in the gender debate. Here's a family restroom. If you feel like you need to go in there and need help for any reason or need to be in there, then you can. That's the answer. But they're not doing that because they want the political wedge driven as hard as they can. That's the agenda, James, and that proves their agenda.
And think about this. Agenda. You know, no one heard about so-called transgender rights. I mean, it was just made up a couple of years ago in terms of the popular media coverage of it. And, of course, as we know, Sam, the media, just their job is to serve as the enforcers of political correctness. But now you've got all of these singers, all of these athletes, these CEOs, these sports leagues saying, we stand for equality for transgender. And I ask all of these CEOs catering, how many transgender people, and when I say that, you got to ask, well, are they people pretending to be transgender, or are they people that are really mentally ill enough that they actually believe they are a different sex than what they really are? And so, I mean, who's to say? You can't really identify someone as that. I mean, you can certainly identify someone as a homosexual if they lay down with someone of the same sex, but how can you really identify if this is legit or not in these people's minds? But no matter what, you're looking at a statistically irrelevant portion of the population. I would say probably, I mean, I'm just guessing here, if homosexuals themselves, which is far more common than so-called transgenderism, are only a single percentage of the population, a single percent of the overall population. How many people are really transgender in their minds? I would say probably maybe 100,000 people or less. I mean, would that be, that's probably pretty close. I mean, certainly not many, even if it's a few million. It's nothing compared to a country of 300 million. And yet you have all of these CEOs completely bending over backwards, risking alienating the vast majority of their customers to kowtow to just a handful of people. The overall population doesn't even begin to make sense.
If the people aren't going to stand against it, you're going to get what you always got. You're going to do what you always done, and you're going to have the same results as we've always had. And this is what I would say to Pete and to answer your question, James, and to everybody else. If we don't turn inward and focus on our families, focus on God, family, and country, if we don't start protecting life, liberty, and property, if we don't use our agency wisely, then you know what? America will not survive. America will be in trouble, and we will absolutely melt down if we turn our backs on God and his laws.
Babies have no rights. You know, you can murder a human child in the womb. They don't even have the right to live. But these people and I don't hate these people. I'm not mad at them. I think it's very sick and disgusting that our country is drifting this way. But I don't hate these people. I think they need help. I think they need to go to a mental institution. They need some psychiatric help. But I don't hate them. I'm not trying to hurt them or oppress them. But they don't have the right to go to a bathroom. You know, when you have a man. I mean, it's just so disgusting to even talk about it. But imagine a man going in and using the restroom next to your little girl. No father would stand for that. And yet, at the same time, this country says that's legit, but babies don't have the right. You want to kill your baby? You can do that. What kind of country is that, Sam?
All right, I said, should we target, and boycott them for their policy? The answer is yes, we should. The American Family Association has put a boycott together. Their headline says, sign the boycott target pledge. Over 350,000 people have signed it to date. That should be 300 million, James.
Well, it should. And then wouldn't you know it, though, the American Family Association, a great group, a Christian group, they are, of course, identified by our friends at the Southern Poverty Law Center and the media at large as a hate group. A hate group.
There you go. And what have the American people done to stand up for the truth on that, Kurt? Or, James, I've had to fight to even find out about the boycott.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's certainly not going to get any media coverage. And again, the overwhelming percentage of the population who is in agreement with the American Family Association on this aren't going to take the time out of their busy schedule to sign the petition or speak out about this publicly because they don't want to be called dirty names.
Amen to that. James, we're flat out of time. As always, not enough time to talk to you about these topics. We got to stand together, ladies and gentlemen. What do they say? We hang separately? That's verbally and physically and figuratively and everything else. We got to work on solutions, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe that taking back the mainstream media, controlling the narrative, taking back the narrative is the answer. Final thought, James.
Sam, welcome home.
Thank you, sir. Godspeed. There he goes, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam and Kurt on your radio. This nation shall endure.